Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Amen.
Amen.
He is so wonderful to us.
It's rewarding to hear them hearing the message of faith.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. That's the core.
Yes, sir.
I mean, grace, you know,
yes,
in Christ.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's man's side.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. We give you the praise.
A man I really love said one time, no message is complete until it tells you what man's part is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You want to go? Okay, all right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We lift our hands to you tonight in gratitude and thanksgiving that we can come into your presence and call you Father. Father, thank you for making us your very own children, welcoming us into your presence, inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain. We've come tonight to obtain. We've come tonight to worship you. We've come tonight to receive answers. We've come, Father, because we're hungry. We come into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We're thankful unto you and we bless your name. Thank you tonight for every person that's here. Thank you for the great plan you have for them. Thank you for the great plan you have for this nation. And thank you, Father, each one that stands before us tonight has a part in that plan. We ask you tonight for utterance, to speak things as of the oracles of God. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I may speak accurately a word in season to him that's weary, that we might be lifted into your strength and your power and your edification, that we might run our race and finish our course with joy. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise for every good thing that happens in this place tonight. There's no worthy. We give it to you freely. And we thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of gathering together tonight around your precious, holy, written word. And Father, as we feed on it tonight, we thank you faith will rise up big and strong. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. Greet somebody. It's good to see you tonight. Greet your neighbor and tell them it's good to have you in service tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to welcome you. Good to see you again. Greetings again from the United States, from Spirit of Faith Family Church in the U.S., from in the state of Iowa. And we are honored to be with you. Our church put on the conference. Many of them are watching right now by live stream. In fact, we have people watching all over in the United States and around different countries on live stream. We welcome everyone. And we encourage you to pull on what God has for us in the service tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we went longer than I thought I did this morning. But how many of you, you all just sat there and just soaked it in. You didn't seem to mind it. You're hungry, aren't you? Praise the Lord. There was a man that said one time, he asked a man, he said, what makes a hot air balloon go up? He's talking to a preacher. He said, what makes a hot air balloon go up? And the guy said, well, he said, it's the air on the inside. He said, well, then what holds you down? You'll get it later. You'll get it later. In other words, you just went long, long, long and just full of hot air. I don't know why you're still on the ground. You could have floated up. But you can laugh. That was a dry American joke, all right? Okay. Praise the Lord. We're starting off like a herd of turtles tonight. If you brought your Bible this evening, let's start over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. Hallelujah. We're going to get into some things we started with tonight. How many of you here tonight? You were here this morning during the morning sessions, the two morning sessions. You were here tonight. You were here this morning in the morning sessions. Good, 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 good. So some of you that maybe if you're new tonight, this is your first session, I would highly encourage you to get what was already said in this morning session because we can't go back and re-preach all that. We'll hit the high spots a little bit. But in order to get the most out of tonight, it'd be best for you to have heard what was said this morning. And so I believe those CDs are available. Is that correct? So we encourage you to get those. But tonight, let's start reading here tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. It tells us, we actually looked at this verse this morning. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this is Paul talking to a minister, Timothy, and he said, study the word, study the Bible. Don't just read it, study it. And he said, so that you can be a workman needed not to be ashamed. Then he made this statement that stands out to me for this conference. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, that if you didn't know it, just reading that verse will let you know it, that the word can be wrongly divided.
That's right.
Amen. In other words, if it can be rightly divided, why would Paul have to, if it can't be wrongly divided, why would Paul have to warn Timothy, make sure and rightly divide it? Well, the answer to that is because it can be, and people have wrongly divided the word of God. We need to understand some basic principles of Bible interpretation. Anything the Bible says, you got to ask yourself, to whom is the Lord speaking?
Yes.
Amen. To whom is the Lord speaking?
Yes.
You can go back in the Old Testament and find things that are written for our learning, the Bible said, but those are Old Testament people under the Old Covenant.
Right.
Like David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Well, he's in the Old Covenant. You find the New Covenant, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
He'll abide with you forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't have to pray, take not thy Holy Spirit. See, that's a different era, speaking to a different person.
Right.
Under a different covenant.
That's right.
You understand?
Amen.
And so there's just a lot of things we've got to learn about Bible interpretation and how to rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
The Amplified Version says, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Skillfully teaching. Well, as ministers, that's something we ought to strive for, is great skill. Great skill. Skill in what? Skill in rightly dividing the word of truth. And the better you know the Bible, the better you'll get at doing that.
That's right.
Whenever a man's new in things, new in the Bible, new in the spiritual truths of God's word, and he gets a hold of one verse, he gets all excited about that one verse.
Yeah.
But he can take that truth and take it in places that the Bible never meant it to go.
That's right.
Because it doesn't balance with the rest of the scriptures.
Right. That's right.
You understand? That's easily done.
Yeah.
And we all got to be careful not to do that.
Yes, sir.
And he's warning us here to get knowledge of the Bible. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And you can't teach it right unless you've learned it right.
That's right.
You and I've got to learn the Bible, especially as ministers.
Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us we are sowers of the seed of God's word.
That's right.
Us as ministers.
Yes, sir.
First of all, the message of salvation, being born again, getting people saved. But then all the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know if most people put enough value on growing the saints up.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said in 1 Timothy, God's... He wants all men to be saved. This is God's will. All men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. You can be saved and not really know the Bible.
That's true.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And don't misunderstand me. Go right to heaven. Thank God for it. Go right to heaven. But not know the truth down here and not come into the knowledge of the truth, and the devil will beat you up.
That's right. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Because you'll know the truth.
And the truth.
Remember?
Yes,
John 8:32.
Yes.
You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free.
Yes.
I'm interested in living in victory down here, living in freedom down here.
Yes.
And so I've got to renew my mind with the Word of God. I've got to get knowledge of the Word of God.
Amen.
And only then, as a minister, can we rightly divide the Word of truth.
Yes.
And once it's rightly divided, it'll settle a lot of issues.
Yes.
That come up in the church world.
Amen.
Amen. And so in this meeting, we're talking about rightly dividing, if you were here this morning, rightly dividing some things regarding the ministry and money, and how the ministry is to relate to money.
Yes.
And how we're to teach and preach about money.
Yes.
Because the Bible talks about it, and so we should be teaching and preaching to our people about finances.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. It's not covetousness to teach the Bible.
No, sir. Amen.
Just teaching the Bible
Yes.
is not covetousness. That's faith building.
Amen.
We need to build the people's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
So what we must learn to do is teach our people the knowledge of what the Bible says. And that'll bring their thinking in line with the Scriptures. And that'll make them free, and they can live in victory in the financial affairs of their life.
Amen.
Well, first of all, we got to learn it ourselves, though.
Amen.
As ministers, we got to learn it ourselves. So we've been talking about some of that. And our purpose is not to be negative. We're not a negative ministry. We're not out fighting things, you know. Our whole mission is not to fight wrong doctrine. Our mission is go preach the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Go edify the saints.
Amen.
God set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, early teachers, and then pastors and teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And then he said, for the perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Edifying. That means build them up. Build them up. Build up their faith. Hallelujah. And so we're not here to for destructive criticism. We're not here to be destructive, but to be constructive. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people have gotten off because they don't know any different. You know, they just haven't been taught. So they'll teach certain things about finances or about water baptism or about the Holy Spirit or about prophecy or about prophets or about anything you want to name. Ministry offices and faith or whatever, healing. They'll teach things that aren't in line with the Bible. But it's not because their heart's wrong sometimes. It's just because they haven't had the opportunity to be established in the truths of God's Word themselves.
Amen.
You know what will give us longevity in the ministry? It's not because we spit a lot of cotton and, you know, get people worked up. It's because we're based, our ministry is based squarely on God's Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You and I should seek stability in the ministry.
Amen.
Say stability.
Stability.
Amen. Amen. And that's what will grow sheep up and make them real stable, mature, fruitful Christians. And that is they're sitting under stable ministry and stable teaching.
Amen.
And well established in good doctrine.
Amen.
Whenever they're established in good doctrine, because we're preaching it and teaching it, we got our minds renewed ourselves, and they get established in good doctrine, they won't be blown around with these winds of doctrine.
Amen.
They'll be stable. They'll be good people to build a ministry on, if you know what I mean. I mean, all ministries built on the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. We understand that. But then there are people that are put in on top of that chief cornerstone that help that house go up, you know.
Amen.
The Bible teaches that in Ephesians chapter number 2.
Amen.
So, but you want to build your church on stable Christians, not on people who come blow in, blow out, you know. They're not stable. You want to stabilize people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You want to raise up functional believers.
Amen.
I mean, they're first of all victorious in their own lives.
That's right.
And second of all, they're a real supply to you and they're the work of God and to the kingdom of God.
That's right.
So, we've been talking about this in relation to money. And some people, they have gotten off maybe some on some of their teaching and doctrine. Sometimes it's not just because they haven't heard anything differently. They haven't been really taught. You understand? Their hearts are right, all right. But they're just following the practices they've seen others do. And that's easy to do. I've done it, fallen into that. Well, so-and-so did it, so I'll do it. Well, what are we basing that on in the Bible? What's the foundation for that practice or that doctrine? Amen? You know, sometimes in our hunger, we're zealous, but lack knowledge. Amen. Zeal is a good thing. But the Bible doesn't necessarily say a whole lot positive about zeal. It talks about zeal without knowledge is not good.
That's right.
How many of you know if you're real zealous and you're running, let's say you're running in a race in a track meet or some kind of Olympic competition, and you're real zealous, but you take off, but you run the wrong direction.
Yeah, come on.
Your zeal's not doing you any good.
That's right. No, sir.
You're zealous, but no, you got to be running the right direction.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we got to get knowledge and know what the Bible says. Amen. So Paul's talking here when he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's talking to a young minister that's teaching and preaching the word. And he's telling him to teach it right.
Amen.
Teach it right. Amen. That means it can be taught wrong.
Amen.
Amen. In the previous verses, you go back there. We were in verse 15, but go back to verse 14. He said in verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance. Paul's talking about some good doctrine. Put these people in good remembrance of what I'm sharing with you. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You know, some things mislead the hearers. That's what that word subverting means. Subverting or leading the hearers astray. In other words, into things that aren't really true. And then you go down there in verse number 18, who concerning, he talks about a couple of people that got off doctrinally. You can look at it there. Shun profane and vain babblings in verse number 16 there. And verse number 16. They will increase unto more ungodliness. He's talking about wrong doctrines. Verse 17, and their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, he specifically mentioned a doctrine that they were preaching that the resurrection had already happened. Right. Not the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection of the saints from the dead. Right. And he's saying they were preaching the resurrection. And he said by preaching that certain error of doctrine, they were overthrowing some people's faith.
Come on. Yeah. Amen.
So can you see where wrong doctrine hinders people's faith?
That's right.
But that's true in any area. That's true. Wrong doctrine in the area of finances, wrong doctrine in the area of money, wrong doctrine in the area of receiving offerings or something will get people's faith off the sure foundation of God's word.
Amen.
You see, whenever people say, I use this just because it kind of covers all the different things that go on out there. I might not mention the exact egregious error or practice that's going on currently in the nation of Nigeria. I don't know everything that's going on. I might not mention it specifically, but we're talking about heart issues. Amen. And you can pick out by knowing the heart issues which practices are wrong. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And while I'm talking, the Spirit of God will bring things to your remembrance. Say, I remember something I heard and saw, and something told me that wasn't right. Now I understand why that wasn't right.
That's right. That's right.
So we'll just let the Holy Ghost give you the rest of the story. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But yet, right on the other hand, whenever people say, well, you put your money right here in my anointed pocket, you know, and you'll get your blessing. Now their faith is not in God. Their faith is in your anointed coat.
Come on. Right. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen.
That overthrows the faith of some.
That's right.
God is our source, period.
Amen.
Never a man.
Not a man.
Amen. Huh? Our faith is not in an anointed man. Our faith is in God.
Amen.
Have faith in God. That's where faith is supposed to be.
Amen.
In God.
Amen.
And when your faith's in God, whether you got a man or not,
yes.
God will come through for you.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm not saying God doesn't anoint men. He surely anoints men and women. I'm saying men generally. He anoints men and women to stand in ministry offices and anoints them to help people.
Amen.
Yet right on the other hand, people are kind of manipulating people with those kinds of things. So that's what we're talking about. Now, Paul was telling this young minister, he's telling them, teach it right. Don't subvert the hearers. Don't lead them astray. In other words, make sure your doctrine is sound. Bible talks about preaching sound doctrine. Hallelujah. Now, what that means is know what the Bible says and lay it out plain and simple.
Amen.
Cut it straight.
Amen.
Cut it right.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Part of what is necessary to do that is interpret scriptures in the light of other scriptures.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There are things that people say today that, aren't necessarily scriptural. For example, people will say, well, it's wrong for Christians to borrow money. Well, they take one scripture, they read over there in Romans chapter 13, owe no man anything but to love him, you know. And they try to take that apart from everything else the Bible says. Well, we read this morning, the Bible said that, he would bless us so much we'd lend and not borrow. Well, if it's wrong for us to borrow, then it'd be wrong for us to lend to somebody because that's causing them to borrow.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, we just ought to think a little bit.
Yes.
So now that doesn't mean God might not speak to someone, maybe a minister, somebody, and say, I don't want you to borrow anything for the rest of your life. That doesn't mean God won't do that.
Right.
But see, if God speaks to him specifically and tells him not to do that, then that's for him and between him and the Lord. That's not for doctrine for everybody else.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You and I've got to live with the conviction of our own conscience.
Amen.
Amen.
Good teaching, sir.
Amen. Amen. But just we're not to preach convictions of our own conscience.
Amen.
We're to preach the word.
Yes.
Paul told Timothy, preach the word.
Amen. Preach the word.
We might have convictions along a certain line, but we're not to preach conviction. We're to preach the word.
Yes, sir.
Now, the Lord might tell a man not to borrow anything anymore because that used to be an area of weakness for him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he gets into bondage with it.
Sure.
You understand?
Amen.
And I accept somebody's testimony if they say the Lord told him not to borrow. Fine. But he didn't tell me that.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I got, I'm getting some of those looks again. So, but I'm just going to keep right on with it. So make sure your doctrine's sound. Part of that is to interpret scriptures in the light of other scriptures. Correct. The Amplified says, like that said here in 2 Timothy 2:15, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling the word and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word rightly dividing in the Greek means cut it or set it straight. Handle correctly and skillfully. So that's what it means. And you can learn what something means by what it isn't. The Greek says the opposite of this is to pervert or twist in order to lead astray, to deceive or tell falsehoods or tell distorted truths. Amen. Amen. There is a verse in 1 Corinthians 4:1 that says we are stewards of the mysteries of God. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards means it's in our hands how we're going to handle it.
Yes, sir.
Now, over in another verse, you can just write this down, 2 Corinthians 2:17. He said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Amen. So we don't corrupt the word of God. We can take holy spiritual truths and twist them for our own advantage, to make them say something they don't say, and distort the word of God, and now it's not accurate.
Yes.
Now we're not rightly dividing it.
Yes.
And that's a dangerous thing.
Yes.
To teach false doctrine in the body of Christ is a dangerous thing. Remember this morning we said James 3:1 says, be not many masters, knowing we're going to be judged by a higher standard.
Amen.
We're going to have to give an account for those things which we teach.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. That's why Ephesians, we looked at this morning. We're just recapping a few things. Ephesians 4, 14, 15 talks about in this day, there'll be people tossed like children to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And cunning and sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But he said, for us, we're to teach and preach the truth in love. In love. In other words, our goal is to love the people. Not to manipulate them to do something for us.
Amen.
And teach and preach in love, that so that they can grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. We've got some spiritual con men running around in the United States, running around maybe here in Nigeria. I don't know what all is going on here in Nigeria. I just know what the Lord said to me. But they're charlatans, and they're slick, and they twist things, and try to make the Bible say something it didn't say. I know one man, a minister, he said, I'm a Jew. So you get an extra blessing for giving to me.
Oh boy.
Because he was raised in a Jewish home.
Yeah.
Became a Christian.
Yeah.
And now he's out in the ministry. And he said, you'll get an extra blessing because you give to me. Your blessing is not through the Jews. Your blessing is through Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I can tell some people that's a surprise to you. But see, it's our faith in Christ that gave us Abraham's blessing.
Amen.
Not being born into a Jewish family. In fact, the Bible said we are Jews which are circumcised in the heart and not just in the flesh.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
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 Amen. Amen. There's a lot of error in that area going around today.
Yes,
our blessing is through Israel. Our blessing is through the Jews. No, it's not.
Amen. Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand me. The Jews gave us the Messiah. They gave us the Word of God. The Jews brought these things. We appreciate that.
Right. Amen.
But see, our blessing is through Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
And so is theirs.
Amen.
I said, so is theirs.
Amen.
Amen. Well, anyway, just a lot of things we could say, but we'll just keep on going. We've got some spiritual con people out there. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. And so there's no Bible truth that's more twisted sometimes than this area of biblical prosperity. The issue of prosperity and money. 2 Corinthians 4:2, we read this morning. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
Amen.
But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We've got to, you and I as ministers, have got to live with a clear conscience.
Amen.
Some of these things these people are preaching, I don't know how they go to sleep at night.
Exactly.
I mean, how's their conscience not bothering them?
Yeah.
I'll tell you how. Their conscience is seared. Their conscience is hardened by covetousness.
Yes. Amen.
Something got into their spirit and it dulled their conscience.
Yes,
I want to keep it. In fact, it'll be very safe for you in the ministry if you'll keep a real clear conscience. If somebody else can do it and you can't in a good conscience, well, then you're going to have to be stand before God and keep a clear conscience. Amen. Because we're going to be judged by what we know in our heart. See, our conscience is the voice of our spirit.
That's right. Amen.
The voice of our own spirit. Yes. And if we can't do something because it would bother our conscience, well, then we're going to have to just draw back from it.
Yes, come on. Sir.
Amen.
There's some things I know I can do in my church to get the offerings to go up.
Come on.
I can make big demands. I can make big promises.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Tell everybody that gives, I'll give them this or that.
Right. Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
You know what I'm talking about? Yep. Tell them you'll get an extra blessing. I'll pray for your children.
Oh, my.
If you'll give me $1,000.
Come on.
Well, I say I get bigger offerings. My congregation knows better. They wouldn't do it anyway.
Yeah,
they'd sit there and look at me like I ain't doing it. Because you preach against it, so don't.
Amen.
Amen. Well, go ahead and laugh because it was funny. The Amplified of this verse is 2 Corinthians 4:2. We've renounced disgraceful ways. Some things are embarrassing. Is my mic still on? We've renounced disgraceful ways. And then he said, underhandedness. Whew. I'll tell you something that's underhanded. And I've had this happen to me. I underhanded is, let's receive an offering. I've been a guest minister in many churches, traveled all over the United States, now all over the world.
Yeah.
Let's receive an offering for our guest minister tonight. We want to be a real blessing to him, so everybody gives. They want to bless the guest minister. And then the pastor takes it behind the closed doors and says, well, you know, that's too much. Let's take some of that and put it in our building fund. That's called lying. It's also called stealing. Amen. You're looking at me real serious. Like that's not ethical.
No, sir.
That's underhandedness.
Amen.
That's pimping my anointing.
That's it. Amen.
That's taking my anointing and using it to raise your money.
That's right.
God didn't anoint me to raise money for somebody.
Come on now. Say it. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, boy, we're hitting it hard tonight. I've three different times. Maybe it happened more, but I know of three different times where somebody stole our offering or stole part of it.
Yeah.
I just went my way. See, they're not my source.
That's right.
I didn't fuss with them. Yeah. I didn't sue them.
Amen.
I mean, if you know, we're believers. Our
Amen.
Faith is in God.
That's right.
If somebody doesn't treat us right, God will get it to us another avenue. That's the beautiful thing of walking by faith.
Amen.
God is your source, not somebody. So I didn't fuss about it. I went my way and said, praise God. God will make it up another way. And he did. He praised God. I've never ceased to go up financially.
Yeah.
Amen.
But see, like Abraham wouldn't fuss with Lot and his servants.
That's right.
Over money. He wouldn't fuss over which part of the land they were going to get.
That's
he just
right.
said, no, Lot, you take the best. I'll give you the choice first.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's what you're going to have to do if you're going to succeed financially, is not fuss and fight over money.
That's right. Amen.
Well, they didn't do me right. Well, welcome to the human race.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the human race. The people aren't going to do you right sometimes. But see, our faith isn't in them.
Amen.
Our faith isn't in people.
Come on. Amen.
Praise God. God is our source. And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. But I know of three times somebody didn't do us right. Like I said, I just went my way and forgot about it, forgave them, say, Lord, you're going to take care of me. My faith's in you, not looking to them.
Amen.
And I honestly forgot about it. It was years later. Actually, it was only about 7-8 years ago, I think. The Lord spoke to me one day and he said, think of the times that you know somebody stole your offering. You know, they told the whole congregation, we're receiving a love offering for Brother Jay, Pastor Jay, and we're gonna bless him. But then they didn't give it to me. They put it in their church fund.
Come on.
I said, well, Lord, I don't sit around and think of those things because I just forgave them, forgot about it. I said, I'm going to have to remember. I don't remember who all they are. And I was trying to think about it. I asked my wife, I said, help me remember the people that stole our offerings. I don't remember. How many of you know when you forgive, you just forget?
Yeah,
you just
forget.
So I hadn't thought about it for a long time. I said, help, because the Lord asked me to remember. I don't know what he's doing with this, but he asked me to remember. I said, was it, yeah, that, okay, I remember that. Okay, we remember those three people,
yes, yeah.
The three pastors.
Yes, sir.
And so then I went back to the Lord because I said, Lord, you told me to think about who those people were. I said it was so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I've forgiven them. I don't know why you're bringing this up. I don't hold any grudge against them.
Right. Amen.
He said, I'm bringing it up because I want you to check up on all three of them and see if they're still in the ministry.
All right. Come on.
Yep. I said, all right. So I did all the research I could find, even, you know, finding out from other people. Yep. Where's so-and-so? Are they still in the ministry?
Yep.
Not a one of them is in the ministry.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. One of them died.
Wow.
Now, I don't wish that on anybody. But what the point is that's underhandedness.
Yes.
This verse said we have renounced this underhandedness.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 I heard, and see, they got judged for it.
That's
yes,
right.
They got judged for lying and stealing.
Yes, sir.
The church, the offerings that were told the people a lie.
Yep.
Yes.
And people want to give to us in a big way because they're blessed.
Yep.
And so they give big and the church, oh, that's a lot of money. I think we'll put it in our building fund or something like that. And they use my anointing to get money into their... That's wrong.
That's
very wrong. Amen.
Yes,
amen. Amen. That's wrong.
That's right.
I remember years ago back in the United States, I say years ago, I know at least 10, maybe 15 years ago, there was somebody on Christian TV that was invited in to be a part of Christian TV programs. And some sort of agreement had been made about the offerings, but somebody didn't come through with the agreement. So this minister went to court and sued them. That tells you a lot about their spiritual condition.
That's right. Amen. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
Amen. I watched very carefully whenever I saw that it happened. I watched very carefully. It wasn't too long. That lady was no longer in the ministry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She fell. God judged that.
Right. Yes, sir.
What a terrible example in the body of Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Exactly.
Yes. Amen.
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 Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're talking about ministry and money.
Amen.
Now, notice it said here, this is the Amplified of 2 Corinthians 4, 2. We have renounced these disgraceful ways and this underhandedness. He said, we refuse to deal craftily.
All right.
See, whenever we say this offering's for a guest speaker and then we put it somewhere else, that's lying.
That's lying.
That's tricks. That's trickery. We refuse to deal craftily, to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to be right. I believe that there is a true message of divine prosperity, but I also believe that message is pure.
Amen.
It's not full of love for money. It's not full of, it doesn't make people fight over money. It makes people a blessing to each other.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Anything else, there's a taint of something wrong with that.
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about right handling these things. And so we're talking about the issues that come up in ministry sometimes. Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, whenever he first started out in ministry, he and, let's say he was preaching for a church, a pastor in a church, for a series of meetings. He said they'd go to the service and have good services. He said then afterwards they'd go and they'd have a sandwich or something to eat together. And he said they would sit and they would discuss Bible truths. He said, and something, let's say something came up, somebody was preaching something new, and one of them would take that issue and try to prove it from the Bible, and the other one would take the other side of it and try to prove it wasn't so.
Yeah.
And you couldn't just prove it. The rule was you couldn't just say, this is my opinion. You had to prove from the Bible.
Amen.
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 And he said they'd sit for long hours and they'd try to prove each other wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Take the scriptures and try to prove each other wrong and try to prove their side that they were right.
Right, right.
And he said they did that over and over again. He said then they would switch.
Yeah. Okay.
And they would take the opposite side and try to prove each other wrong and try to prove their position was right.
Yeah.
He said it made them dig in the scriptures.
That's right.
Amen.
He said, I think that's why we say him and some others stay so stable.
Amen.
And didn't get off on every tangent and every little rabbit trail. If you know what a rabbit trail is, I don't know, what do you call it here? You know, a little side journey that doesn't, that's just not important. Amen. Hallelujah. So it made them dig and really find out what the Bible actually said. If your doctrine can't stand up to a good Bible challenge, it's not worth anything. You ought to just throw it away. If you know, the Word of God will do one of two things with your doctrine. It'll either blow holes through it or else it'll strengthen it.
Yes. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 So we want to strengthen the believers. Yes. And so we got to, in order to rightly divide things, we got to stay in the right covenant. We can't go back into the Old Testament and just preach everything from the Old Testament.
Right.
We got to stay in the New Testament. If you're going to go to the Old Testament, run it through the cross and see how the cross changed it.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. So the reason that we're dealing with this is because people get in the ditch in error and erroneous doctrines on one side, and then because they're coming out of the ditch on the other side where, you know, well, you know, we don't want any of this old world's goods, and, you know, money makes people backslide, and poverty keeps us humble. We were saying all that this morning. You remember that? But the Bible has as many promises as it does warnings. I think maybe even more promises than it does warnings.
Amen.
We just want to go down the middle of the road, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. People that are always talking about the warnings, they have no faith for the promises.
That's right.
People that only talk about the promises, they can get in error if they're not careful.
That's right.
And get into some of the things like I'm just talking about.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, there's need for pastors to balance things out.
Amen.
How many pastors do I have in here? Then that's your job to correct some of the con artists going around from church to church or big meetings and deceiving the people. It's your job to bring their bring balance to them. It's really those people's job too, but they're not doing it, so you're going to have to do it.
That's right.
And that's mainly what you are. You're a feeder to stabilize the sheep.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Any aspect of prosperity can be abused by people that don't keep their heart right.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we've got to avoid these perverse teachings out of line with the Word of God. But people have done this to every other subject. They've done it to the grace message.
Yes.
They've done it to the faith message.
Yes.
People have said, well, if you have faith, you'll never die. Physically. You'll never die physically. Well, that's not in the Bible. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, it didn't say when. You can do things to lengthen your life. You can do things to shorten your life. But it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Amen. One time. That, in other words, there's only two people that haven't died yet. Elijah and Enoch. But it's very possible, I'm not saying this is absolutely the truth, but it's very possible there the two witnesses are going to come back and be slain in the streets of Jerusalem because it's appointed unto man once to die.
Amen. Come on.
Now, if I'm wrong about that, whenever we get over in the millennium, I'll come tell you I was wrong about that. But see, my salvation's not dependent on that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But people have abused tongues and interpretation of tongues. They've used tongues and interpretation to hit the people with.
Come on.
The Bible said, if I speak with tongues and don't have love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal.
Right.
Tongues and interpretation and prophecy are not to boss people around.
Amen.
Well, I don't like the way the ladies wear their dresses are too short. I'm going to have a tongue. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord says the dresses are too short. Trying to boss people around in the name of tongues and interpretation of tongues.
That's an abuse.
Yes,
the Bible said tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy, they're for the edification of the church.
Amen.
Some people want to use it to always tear people down. It's not for tearing people down. It's for building people up.
Amen.
Now tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure right now. Right up in here, that's for sure right now. Amen. But the point is, any message can be abused. Any message, not just this message of prosperity, but any message can be abused because people twist things that the Bible says. That's why the Bible says in this text, study to show yourself approved unto God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's the thing. We can't back down from something because of the abuse.
Amen. That's right.
You need to get that.
Amen.
We can't back down from the real truths of God's word because somebody's out there abusing it.
Amen. Amen.
That's to give that truth up to the devil, and I'm not giving those truths up to the devil.
No, sir.
Amen. He cannot have the truth that it's God's will that I be wealthy.
Amen.
Now, people read that, hear me say that, and they say, I can't believe a minister would ever say that. You ever read 1 Corinthians chapter number 8? Jesus, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
He became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. He became sick. He took our sicknesses that we might be healed. He took our poverty so we could be rich.
Amen.
We're rich.
Hallelujah.
Now, people say, well, that's just spiritual riches. No, you read the whole chapter, chapter 8 and 9. That's in chapter 8. But you read chapter 8 and 9 there. Is that 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. You read the whole both chapters, and it's all talking about financial things, money, material things. And he's in the context of those teachings, says made poor that we might be rich. Those people that say we're rejecting the prosperity gospel, what are they going to do with that verse?
Come on.
I'm not rejecting that verse.
No, sir.
Huh?
No, sir.
No, I'm not going to back out because of excess and fanaticism.
No, sir.
I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. I'm not going to back down because somebody's abusing the message, the true message of prosperity. Amen. We've got to realize that there are things that need to be said accurately and there are things that need to be corrected sometimes. But right on the other hand, we're not going to back down from the real true message. I am not giving it up to the devil. You cannot have this from my life. I'm keeping this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you preach about prosperity, don't leave other things out. Keep preaching the whole message. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, he said, you do err because you don't know the scriptures. The reason people swing from ditch to ditch or from one side of error to the other side, maybe the excesses of manipulation to get money out of people over into, well, we need to suffer for Jesus, which is what I'm already hearing some of these people say. They're swinging into the other ditch already. And that's a dangerous thing. Christians need stable doctrine, not things that swing from side to side and are so harsh like that.
Amen.
But Jesus said, you err because you don't know the scriptures. The reason they swing like this is because they're not balanced with the whole counsel of God's word.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But we're going to stay balanced.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor here in Nigeria, we're going to have a balanced message of prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. People aren't well-rounded in the whole counsel of God's word. That's why they have these strong swings from side to side. Now, I want you to go over to Amos 7. And we're going to read something that this is some of the main things God told me to say when we got here. So tell your neighbor, I'm glad we just got started now. I'm glad he finally got to it. Amos. Amen. Tell your neighbor, going back there where you're stuck together. If you don't know where Amos is, it's right after Joel, which is right after Hosea. And right after Amos is Obadiah. We're going to have to read Amos' book because we're going to meet him someday in heaven. And he's going to say, did you read my book? And we're going to say, yeah, we read chapter 7, verse 7 and 8.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, Amos 7. Look at verse 7. Amos chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. He said, thus he showed me, God gave Amos a vision. He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall. Made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Now, if you don't know what a plumb line is, you're not sure what's happening here. But I'll describe a plumb line. A plumb line is basically a string with a weight on the bottom of it. And it's often, not so much today, sometimes today. But in the old days, especially in construction, they were used to determine if something was being built straight. Because you realize if you have a string with a weight on the bottom of it, oftentimes it's a little pointy weight that had a real direct pointing at a specific spot. You know that thing's going to hang down there straight. It's not going to hang sideways. Because that weight's going to pull it taut. It's going to hold it straight. And so he's saying he saw the Lord. He was standing by a wall that was made with a plumb line. And he said, and the Lord was holding a plumb line in his hand. And so he's holding up this string with a weight on it. And so they used it in that day. As you can see, he's standing by a wall here that had been built with a plumb line. They used it to build things straight. That's what the plumb line was used for in that day. Today, we oftentimes use those levels. You know, they have that little bubble in the oil, you know, helps you determine if things are straight. But here God showed the prophet a wall that was built using a plumb line, and it was straight. And he said that he's there holding that plumb line to see if the Lord's there holding that plumb line to see if that wall is still straight. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever hung wallpaper. I don't know if you use wallpaper here much at all. But if you've ever hung wallpaper, sometimes people will do that on the first piece of wallpaper. You hang a plumb line right where you want it to start, and you hang it there right. And because whenever you put the wallpaper on, you want to put it just right in line with that plumb line. Because if the first one's straight, then the rest of them can be straight.
Right.
That's called a plumb line.
Amen.
Everybody know what we're talking about now?
Yes, sir.
So in these verses, the Lord's standing beside this wall that was built with a plumb line, and he's checking with the plumb line to see if it's still straight. You following me? Here's what this is saying. God's word has set a plumb line for everything in his will. God's word is his plumb line. God's word is the plumb line for prosperity. I said God's word is the plumb line for the subject of prosperity. If we're going to stay straight concerning the subject of prosperity, we'll have to start everything we say, everything we preach, everything we do, everything we believe with God's word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not just an isolated verse taken out of context or something, out of its setting. Not balanced with the whole counsel of God's word. The plumb line is what keeps things straight. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:11, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, is a discerner or a revealer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God will show up things that aren't right. It'll show up things that are intentions and thoughts and motives that are not pure. Amen. What that's saying is, just because he's saying the word is going to keep us straight.
Amen.
Do you realize just because people are jumping and shouting whenever you preach it doesn't mean that you're saying it straight?
Amen. Come on.
They're not the plumb line.
No, sir.
Amen. Amen. God's word is the plumb line.
Yes,
that's what this is saying. They may not have been built spiritually with the plumb line of his word either. So how would they know if something's straight from God's word or not?
That's true.
Good.
Amen.
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 Something can look straight until you hold something straight beside it.
All right.
Anybody ever, you wanted to make something really white and you put it in bleach or something? And you think that looks pretty white until you hold it beside some real white piece of paper or something and it looks dull and muddy. It's not really white. Because now you're comparing it to something that's really white. Well, the same thing true with something straight. You can look at it and think that's pretty straight until you put a level on it. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. That's not straight at all.
That's right.
It looks straight because it's sitting on something that's crooked.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm building a house right now. Not me. People are building my house, and the house lot is slanted, and they put rocks on the front of it, and the ground at the side, the ground in the front where the rocks are, put the stone up on the house is crooked, and so I looked at it and it looked straight. My wife looked at it and said, "That's not straight at all." We checked it out and it wasn't straight at all, so we had to get the people to adjust the rock a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's what he's talking about here. His word is his plumb line.
Amen.
It's what keeps things straight.
Amen.
Sometimes things look straight, but you hold up something straight to it and you realize, oh my goodness, that's not straight at all. Sometimes people's heart have gotten off concerning the subject of prosperity because they don't allow God's word to judge them concerning what they're preaching. Amen. And what they're teaching. They don't have a true plumb line in their spirits. Their conscience is seared and they are off base. God's word is his plumb line, which means this. God's word is his standard. His standard. Say standard. The Amplified says, when this is here in Amos 7, when the Lord, then the Lord said, behold, I'm setting a plumb line like a standard in the midst of my people Israel. That's what that plumb line is. The plumb line is the standard. He said, this is what's straight. Anything that's not in line with this, it's crooked.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just because big name preachers say it doesn't make it straight.
Hey, come on now. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Your ministry is a wall. Notice he's standing by a wall. Your ministry is a wall which God himself reared up and raised up as a defense of his sanctuary. Amen. As this verse shows, the Lord is now stepping up upon this wall to see why the people that this wall is supposed to be protecting are still so weak in faith concerning different areas. You understand what I'm talking about? And he's checking to see if it's still straight.
Yes.
He's raising the plumb line to your ministry. That's what he said in the church to protect it from false doctrine. And it appears like the wall is bowing. It looks like it's bulging. And there's gaps in the wall, opening that things are getting into your people's hearts and minds because of wrong doctrines.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying maybe necessarily talking about you. I don't know about you. But it could be any of us if we're not straight with the word. Amen. He's holding up the plumb line of the word and saying, these teachings are crooked. Rebuild this wall.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15 are talking about?
Yes, sir.
He said he set us in the church.
Yep.
He set first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, yep, for the perfecting of the saints.
Yes.
To make that thing, make them just straight.
Yep.
For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Till we all come in the unity of faith.
Amen.
To the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of stature, the fullness of Christ.
That's right.
For he said there's these winds of doctrines.
Yes.
Remember?
Amen.
There's winds of doctrines that are going through.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
These winds of doctrines are things that deceive the people, he said, makes them unstable spiritually. Keeps them spiritual babies rather than grows them up.
Amen.
These doctrines overthrow their faith.
Yeah.
Keep them immature.
Amen.
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 But a plumb line, if you think about it, that old style of plumb line will not check for right alignment horizontally. You can't check for right alignment with a plumb line horizontally. You can only check for right alignment vertically. Oh, can I go ahead and preach a little bit? Amen. It checks for alignment vertically. In other words, alignment. How are you aligned with God?
Amen.
The people are not your standard.
That's right.
Amen. He is through his word. And if you're out of line with the word, you aren't straight with his people either. And that's a problem with him also. Amen. How many of you have read the Bible whenever Saul was persecuting Christians before his name was changed to Paul in the New Testament? Remember in Acts 9, verse number 4, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting
me?
Who are you, Lord? In other words, I've never met. Who are you?
Yeah. Come on.
I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted. He hadn't met Jesus, but Jesus said, you're persecuting me.
Yeah.
How was he persecuting Jesus? He was doing it to his people.
That's right. That's
he is
right.
Doing it to his people.
Yes, amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen,
sir. I said, isn't that right?
Amen.
And you've got other verses along that line. You remember the Bible talks about Matthew 25, 40 through 45. It talks about Jesus said, if you see a poor man, feed him, you know, visit people and so forth. And then he said, people say, well, I didn't see you naked and didn't clothe you and so forth. He said, well, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me.
That's right.
Amen. So he is identifying with his people. Amen. And so when we do it to them, we're really doing it to him. Amen. So we got to get straightened up with the word that'll straighten us out with God's people in God's eyes. Amen. They are his people, not ours. Amen. He's trusting us to feed them, protect them, and be a safe place. Our churches to be safe places for them. Not where they get abused by charlatans trying to get money out of their pockets. That doesn't do away with the Bible teaching about giving tithes and offerings. That's not being a charlatan. That's telling them what the Bible says. But you know what the difference is. I've told you already. You know, $70 for the next 70 people giving $70. Seven promises in 7 minutes. Woohoo! Let's get it going right now. Getting them all worked up. Hallelujah. So we got to be straight with God. And in God's eyes. That may be, you know, if we're straight with the word. And we get straightened out with the word, might not make us straight with the people.
Come on, that's it. Come on.
They might not always like it, what we're preaching, what we're sharing.
That's right.
But they're not our standard. We're not going to stand before them and give an account. We're going to stand before him and give an account.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. So you have to put the word, which is his standard, in your heart and align yourself with that. The Spirit of God will always align you with the word. It will always bring you back to the word.
That's right.
Some today aren't listening because they haven't they aren't listening to the word because they've been blinded by covetousness. Their conscience has been seared. And the Bible said they speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's true out there in the financial arena today. Am I still all right tonight? You haven't gone to sleep on me yet? So in this passage, he ends up by saying, it doesn't make it real clear in the King James, but he ends up in the seventh chapter, the eighth verse, saying, I will not again pass by them anymore. The Amplified says, I will not pass by and spare them anymore. The door of mercy is shut. He's saying, I'm going to have to deal with these wrong things that aren't aligned with my word. Because they're abusing my people.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it.
Isaiah 45:2. I'll go before you and make the crooked places straight. Boy, God's a straight God. He is a straight arrow. If you've ever seen a straight arrow, God's a straight arrow. Hallelujah. God in our day is correcting things that are in error and bringing anything out of alignment with his word into alignment.
Yes, sir.
This means confrontation of wrong doctrines. Amen. More and more you're going to see God bringing to our attention, to the attention of the church in this nation and in all nations, things that are crooked and out of alignment with his will. Out of alignment with his purpose, out of alignment with his mind, so that we can move into a greater move of God in the nations of the world. Hallelujah. When things are right, the Spirit of God is pleased. When things are not right, it grieves the Spirit of God and hinders what God wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God's going to get his way.
Amen.
He's going to get his way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let's say this. It's important that we not say things wrong. That we say it just like the Word says it. And not twist it for our own gain. Amen. These things get people off, and we're going to hear more and more of people saying, God dealt with me and corrected me.
Yes.
And we've been hearing some of that recently, and I appreciate it.
Amen.
I appreciate it.
Amen.
We had a well-known minister over in the United States just a couple of weeks ago stand up and say, the Lord corrected me, and I have to judge myself about the manipulation of God's people in the offerings.
Yes. Yes,
and I appreciate that.
Amen.
Anybody else appreciate that?
Yes,
we got to keep things right. But they're repenting of these things. And we're going to hear more and more of this. And people repenting of these things. But it's unhealthy for the pendulum to swing to the other side and say, well, I'm not going to accept the prosperity gospel. That's not the truth either. I've been saying that over and over again because I want it to get on the inside of you. I've been waiting for this kind of thing to happen for a long time. And I rejoice that God's Spirit is moving in this way. But let's look at this subject and be sure to rightly divide the word, because that's what this verse says. Jeremiah 15, verse 19, the New American Standard Bible. Jeremiah 15, verse number 19, especially the last part of that verse. Jeremiah 15:19. If you extract, this is the New American Standard Bible, if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. Ooh. Yay, 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 yay. I want to speak for God. Don't you want to speak under the anointing of God's Spirit?
Come on.
I want to speak for God. I want to speak with authority because I heard from God. I do. I want to hear from God. I want to speak with authority. I want to speak for God. Then he said, in order to do that, he said, separate the lies that you're telling people from the truth. Amen. Sometimes ministers tell people things that ministers tell people to manipulate them to give in offerings is worthless. This translation said, extract the precious from the worthless. But if we want to hold on to the truth, but we do want to hold on to the truth so that we're not throwing away the preciousness of God's word. We want to get rid of the worthless things and hold fast to the precious things. Because God's word is precious. I've found in preparing for this, the Lord put it in my heart very strong. He said, the prosperity of my people is very precious to me.
Yes, sir.
It's very precious to me. Most people don't realize that about him. He loves you and wants you to do well. I mean, just flourish. Have abundance. It's very precious to him. You know, if you don't have abundance, his word, his will and his plan and his church and his ministry and the kingdom of God doesn't have abundance. So he wants you and I to have it.
Amen.
Amen. Very precious to him. So that that truth, we want to hold fast to the precious and throw away the worthless. Amen. We believe without apology in biblical prosperity. We're not jumping on the swing people are going to jump on to swing from one ditch to another. We're going to deal with the excesses. Make sure we're keeping ourselves right. But we're going to stay right down the middle of the road and hold fast to the precious truths of God's word. Hallelujah. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the gospel of him dying for our sins, dying for the remission of our sin, that we can be made the righteous of God and be born again. But it also has blessings attached to it. We read that this morning, doesn't it? The good news of the blessing that makes us rich and adds no sorrow with it. Praise the Lord. So it's the gospel also of the abundant supply. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. Jesus came and died on the cross to take our poverty that we might be rich. We referred to that verse. Now, we're not talking about, when we're talking about the gospel of abundance and so forth, we're not talking about the love of money and the covetousness. You realize that? You realize we're talking about prosperity through holiness. Right? So, if we're not going to contend for it without apology and press into it because it's the perfect will of God for our lives, then we'll lose this blessing.
That's right.
We've got to contend for it.
Yes.
And we're going to have to contend for it by preaching it real strong.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Preach it right here in Nigeria.
Amen.
Don't apologize for it.
Amen.
People don't like it, just smile, hand them, you know, a whole bunch of naira and just keep on going.
Amen.
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 Glory.
Glory.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And that gospel is very inclusive in this area.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to have to preach it so our people know it's God's will.
Yes.
And then we're going to have to preach it in the places where poverty abounds.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, I can't preach that here. People are poor.
Well,
have you ever heard somebody say, I can't preach the righteousness of God to these people because they're sinners?
Oh my word.
No, you don't say that when it comes to salvation.
No, sir.
There is a righteousness through faith that can be accepted by faith and make people righteous.
That's right.
And sinners need to hear that.
That's right.
Not just the righteous, sinners need to hear that.
Amen.
Well, same thing true with the message of abundance.
That's right.
Poor people need to hear that.
Yes.
Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
What's the gospel to the poor? Well, it's just Jesus' death on the cross and remission of sin. We understand that. But it's also you don't have to be poor no more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But we preach that, but we're not preaching covetousness. Amen. And we're going to have to preach it without shame. And we're going to have to preach God's word that sets men free. It would be selfish for me to sit over in my nice new house in the United States and let the rest of the body of Christ sitting in the slums just sit there in their own condition. That'd be wrong. I said, that'd be wrong. But that's not what we're going to do. We're going to preach it to anybody that wants to hear it anywhere in the world. Deuteronomy 18:18, it's he that gives thee power to get wealth. We support your pursuit of God in that way. God wants you to have that wealth. Amen. Of course, through his power and through his ways of doing it, not through covetousness. Money is just an inanimate object. It's an earthly currency. It's fickle, and the value of it goes up and down, so we don't put our faith in it. It's not a God to us, but we pursue God first, and he gives these things to us. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all these things to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're not to be afraid to receive it or to connect to it with your faith, because it has your name on it. I said it has your name on it. The blessings of God have been accredited to your account and said, this belongs to my people. It's got your name on it. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our commitment in ministry is to preach the plumb line of God's word. Whenever when we reread in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. That's the plumb line. Amen. When he said he's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound toward every good work. That's the plumb line. Amen. That's straight. Not a little bit of poverty. You never can tell what God's going to do. You know, just pray and you'll get through some way, somehow. You know, it's always good to have a little bit of poverty because it keeps you humble. That's not the plumb line. You hold God's word up to that and it looks really crooked. Amen. But our commitment in ministry is to preach the plumb line of God's word. And we'll never apologize for it. And you shouldn't either. Amen. We want people to walk into all God has for them. But in the ministry, you have to acknowledge that there are some things today that need to be adjusted. They're out of line with God's will, his heart, and his mind. And he doesn't like them. And these things need to be removed. Now listen to this verse, Titus 1, verses 7 and 11. I'm not going to go a whole lot longer here tonight. We're just going to say a few things here. Titus 1, 7 and 11, it says, for a bishop must be, now bishop's a pastor, must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Titus 1, 7. Titus 1, verse number 7. Instead, he said, a bishop or a minister must not be greedy of filthy lucre. The New American Standard Bible says, not fond of sordid gain. Now, the 11th verse in the King James, Titus 1, 11, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, he's talking about these people preaching wrong things, which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. New American Standard, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Well, that's the plumb line of God's word too. Now what's happening here? Paul told Titus, he said, I left thee there in Crete to ordain elders. He called them elders and he called them bishops. They're pastors. And he said, I want you to ordain elders, and here's the qualifications. One of the things, not greedy of filthy lucre, or as the New American Standard Bible there said, not fond of sordid gain, or teaching things for sordid gain's sake. Now that doesn't make any sense. We don't use those terms. If you look up the word sordid, it means morally vile or twisted or wretched. A sordid man, it says, is a self-seeking mercenary. Anybody seen anybody like that in Nigeria? I don't live here, so I don't know, but we see them in the United States. Self-serving mercenary. And the Greek help said, a low life. In other words, the way he operates involves ignoble actions and motives that arouse moral distaste and contempt for what he's saying. So when the Bible says filthy lucre, he's not talking about the money itself. Remember this morning we said over in Philippians 4, it talks about sweet smelling savor. That money that was given to the gospel was a sweet smelling savor. We got to rightly divide that. He's not talking about the money here in Titus. He's not saying it's filthy. He's saying going about obtaining it in impure ways. That's what he said needs to be judged whenever you put ministers in and ordain elders. He said, make sure that you ordain ministers, he's saying. When you appoint a pastor, make sure he has a right heart before God and man regarding money.
Amen.
I know a minister that had a church, I don't know, maybe 50 people. And he started preaching the truths of God's word. People started increasing, being blessed to preaching the truths about prosperity.
Yes, sir.
And then you could tell something was getting off with him. And he started putting a lot of pressure. He'd take a long time to receive offerings. I mean, just pressure the people. And because people were shutting down on him, he got even harder on them. He started hitting them with the word. Bible didn't say go into all the world and hit the people with the word. But he started hitting them. And if they stopped tithing, he'd go to their house and say, you haven't tithed this week. I came to collect the tithe. I heard about that. I made a mental note, and I said, he won't last very long in the ministry. And today, he's out. Wasn't very long after that, he's out of the ministry. He's out of the ministry. Amen? See, that's the way going about getting it. His ways were wrong. I'm talking about motives here. I said we're talking about motives here. He's talking about teaching things to the people of God that rather than motivate rather than their motive be to increase the kingdom of God, the minister's motive is to line their pockets.
Amen.
This man was driving a great big car.
Yeah.
I mean, fine to have a big car. And if you're getting it in noble ways, fine, good. But not through, you know, extorting the tithe out of the people whenever they're deciding I'm going somewhere else because I'm not going to your church anymore because you're pressuring people to give money.
Right.
Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Jay. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're not to ordain people or allow anyone in leadership who has a twisted motivation that would lead people away from the truths of God's word and build their faith rather than the true worship of God. These things are abuse of God's people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're learning these things. They're cleaning us up, washing us with the water of the word. These church people love God, and they're coming to church to worship God, but they're being exploited by ministers for their own personal gain. Amen. Now their offerings are no longer focused on God or beautiful in His sight, but detestable. God's bringing these things to the surface to reveal this abuse. Amen. And judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. He wants some of us to say these things. I didn't necessarily volunteer to say all these things this week. Hallelujah. But I'll say this. There's a new order of ministers being raised up in Nigeria.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said ministers who are washed from the water of the word, from covetousness,
yes,
and all these kinds of things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's going to clean the church leadership up if he's going to clean the church up and clean up the nation. That's right. Amen. We don't say these things out of hate for people or anger or, you know, to hit people or, you know, to degrade people. We say them out of just simply holding up the plumb line. We got to hold up the plumb line. Amen. We're not out to harm people. We want to see God's best. We want to see the full, true move of the Spirit. Things that don't grieve the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, there's two things that go along with every move of God. Number one, abundance.
Yes.
Number two, generosity.
Yes,
I said, number one, abundance. Number two, generosity.
Amen.
But if we have the wrong heart and begin to get money-minded and get off and lose the anointing, we're going to lose the anointing and we're going to abort the move of God. That's what happened, Brother Hagin said, in the healing revival. Amen. Listen, preacher. They're not there for you. You're there for them.
Amen.
Let me reverse the tape there. They're not there for you. You're there for them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anytime you start feeling obligated.
Come on,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, your motive is now off.
That's right.
You're there to be a blessing to them.
Amen.
Amen. When you start feeling entitled. When you start making demands. I got to have so much. If you're a guest minister, got to have so much. Drive me to the meeting in a limo. You got to do this for me. You got to do that for me. Amen. Well, then you're no longer a servant of God. You're a hireling.
That's right.
Hey, you're making charge for your ministry.
Yes, that's true.
Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin one time in a vision and talked to him for a while. And he said, be faithful, fulfill your ministry, for the time is short. And he began to walk away in the vision. Yeah. Jesus began to walk away. And then Jesus turned around and retraced his steps and walked up to where Brother Hagin was in the vision. And he said, there's two things to be careful about.
Yes, sir.
Number one, give me all the glory. This is that vision where he put that healing anointing in his hands. Yes. And he started laying hands on the sick, yes, with that tangible healing anointing. Mm-hmm. He said, number one, give me all the glory. Yes. And he said, number two, be careful about money.
Yes, sir.
He said, many people would be willing to give everything they have for their child to be healed with this kind of an anointing. He said, but you shall make no charge for your ministry.
Amen.
He said, only receive free will offerings as you have been doing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You know what free will offerings are?
Yes.
In other words, just freely whatever the people want to give. No charge.
No charge.
No demands.
No charge.
Got to have so much.
No, sir.
Everybody gives $1,000, I'll pray for you. That's making a charge.
That's right. Amen.
I said, that's making a charge.
Amen.
And that gets a person in trouble with God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, can you handle just a little bit more?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. If you're a guest minister and you make a charge for your ministry and the preacher and the pastor finds out about it, he should quickly change his mind and disinvite you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He ought not want his people, his congregation, to sit under and be subject to that kind of a spirit in his pulpit.
That's right.
He ought to want to protect his people.
Yes.
Have the heart of God to stand before them as a man of God.
Yes.
Being in the ministry is not about being a celebrity.
No,
it's not about getting rich.
Come on.
Amen. He said, if you trust me, I'll make you rich. But it's not about putting pressure on people to give them to you so you will be rich. You ever notice whenever Abraham attacked the nation that took Lot away captive? And Abraham recovered all the goods and all the people. He came back and the king of Sodom said, you just keep it all.
Uh-huh.
To Abraham, you just keep it all. He said, no, I'm not going to let any man say I made Abraham. Let any man say I made Abraham rich. In other words, God was his source. God was his source. God's blessings are on our lives. Pastor David and I's lives being faithful and serving God. And God's blessing us and increasing us immeasurably.
Amen.
And we're building a beautiful home right now.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for God's goodness, how He's taken, what He's doing for
Amen.
Us. Just rejoicing.
Amen.
I go out there and I just pinch myself.
Yep.
I'm saying, God, you are so good.
Amen.
You are so good.
Yes.
But I had to tell the people, because some of them were kind of wondering.
Yeah.
I had to tell the people that, this is, we're not stealing the offerings, and that's not how we're doing this.
Sir.
We get a salary, of course.
Yes, Amen.
Fair salary, I believe.
Yes.
But yet, right on the other hand, the way God really got us into it,
yes,
big piece of property, 50 acres of land, and then yes, and then building a house on it.
Yes.
The way God got us into it was a real estate, well, actually a couple of them, but one main real estate transaction. Really, really just, I guess if you boil it down, just one, but real estate transaction where we bought a house that was way underpriced.
Yeah.
Didn't know it was way underpriced until we got in it. Later, the man came and said, did you know you got a pretty good deal? We didn't mean make any money on that. We miscalculated how much that we should have charged for that house, and you got a really good deal. Well, we bought it fair and square. We didn't cheat him. He put it on the market for that price. We bought it for full price.
Yeah, amen.
But it was worth much more than it was on the market for. And when we sold that house, we put a lot of that money in this new property and new home.
Yes.
So that's how we were able to,
yes,
to you know, get into the new home God's blessing us with right now.
Amen.
Well, see, that's a legitimate,
yes,
business transaction,
amen,
not a manipulation of God's people.
Right.
Amen.
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 I just want things to be right. Do you want things to be right?
Yes, amen.
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 How about over here? Anybody want anything to be right?
Amen.
Clean.
Yes.
The gospel is pure.
Yes.
Not manipulative.
Right.
It's not about being a celebrity to be in the ministry. That's the spirit of the world. Amen?
Yes.
The Bible says that we should not love the world, nor the things in the world.
Amen.
Loving the world means loving the ways the world does things.
Amen.
They're pursuing the ways of the... If you're pursuing the ways of the world, you're pursuing a system that's being judged and is getting ready to fall.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Carnal ambition has no place in the ministry.
Right.
People have ambitions to have a big name or to be well known or on every Christian TV station or, you know, everybody else comes to their meetings or something like that.
Yeah.
What's your motive?
Come on now.
That's good.
Come on.
How about just be faithful?
Yes, amen.
God, the Bible said, a faithful man will abound with the blessings of God.
Hallelujah.
God might want to use some of us that way. But right on the other hand, that's not our ambition. Our ambition is just to be faithful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we understand some of these things might be coming out kind of straight, but that's the way we want to preach it, is straight. But yet, right on the other hand, we understand that some people, they've not known anything different than some of these manipulative things. And so they maybe fell into error, but it wasn't because their heart was wrong. They just got caught up in things. This is the way people do it. And, you know, only people I've ever seen do it this way. And so we want to be here to help people.
Amen.
Amen. And so, praise God. Did you get anything out of that tonight?
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. There's going to be people in this day who aren't touched by judgment, and therefore they'll have no sorrow in their riches. There is a way to do it. I said there is a way to do it. These are the people who trust God for the blessings of the Lord to take care of them and not greed and manipulation. They're in a system of faith, not covetousness. I said they're in a system of faith, not covetousness. They let God add to them. Their eyes are on God. They're not chasing money. They're not focused on money. They're focused on they're not focused on love for this stuff. They're focused on Jesus and chasing after His will and after His plan. And they're focused on His word that said you would bring me into abundant supply.
Yes.
And I'm trusting you to do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of the word tonight?
Yes, sir.
Thank God for the truth.
Amen.
I didn't know God was going to send me to preach that kind of a message, but that's some of the things God put in my heart.
Amen.
Let's clean up the ministry. What do you say?
Amen.
Let's get this stuff out. Let's be pure in heart.
Amen.
And judge ourselves in our own conscience.
Amen.
The Bible says that we judge ourselves will not be judged.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for every single one of these precious ministers.
Thank You, Father.
They're so precious. You put Your hand upon them.
Thank You,
You called them.
Thank
we need them.
Thank
and Father God, we extend love and mercy and our prayers for anyone that might have gotten off.
Thank You, Father.
Because Your will is that they continue in the ministry and serve because You called them. We need them, Father. So, Father, we pray for them. And we bless the ones that respond to Your Spirit. And, Father, right now we stand before You tonight. And lay our lives, lay our ministry, lay our motives, lay our methods before You. We put it all out on the altar. We say, put Your finger on anything that You want to point out to us, anything You want to deal with us about, and we'll correct ourselves. Lord, we are Your servants, and these that we stand before are Your people, and we don't want to do anything that would hurt Your heart by abusing them. We ask You, Father, to examine us. We examine ourselves in the light of the Word tonight. And we trust You to guide us in straight and accurate dividing of your word. Hallelujah. Father, any areas we've gotten into error, any areas maybe unknowingly, maybe just because we fell into it because others that we've seen have done it, any area that our motives have gotten off, Lord, we judge ourselves. We stand before you and we say, okay, we're going to straighten that up. We're going to get that out of our lives. Get that out of our ministry. Get that out of our methods. And not practice that kind of way of doing things anymore. Thank you tonight for great mercy on all of us. Great mercy on all of us. We're going to have to give an account how we handle these things. And we trust you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, those that are making adjustments on the inside. And Lord, we do. We all need to.
Yes, Father.
So we're not looking down our nose at anyone. We so thank you for the heart that they have to hear and respond.
Yes.
And we thank you right now for the blood of Jesus that cleanses each one of us and purifies our conscience and all the guilt. Because of violating our conscience tonight, it's being washed away by the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you for that cleansing flow. There is a fountain filled with blood, flows from Emmanuel's veins. And any one of us that get plunged under that flood, we lose all our guilty stains. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. You know that verse that says, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. What's that mean? That means if we correct ourselves. We correct ourselves. Okay, I'm not going to practice that practice anymore. I'm not going to manipulate like that anymore. Amen. Aren't you glad we can get it right? Amen. Amen. I want to be right. I want to be right. And so we thank God for the privilege of hearing His Word and getting washed from some of these things. Praise the Lord.